Good morning, South Knoxville Church of God. Good morning, Facebook family and friends. Great to have you with us this Sunday morning. I hope you're doing well. And you are in our prayers. I know you are praying for us. They're saying things are going to get worse over the next week or two, but we know our God is in control and we trust Him completely. I want to go to the Lord in prayer, and I just want to welcome Him into this time of worship, and then get into the Word in a little bit. But I want you this morning to not consider that I'm in the house alone or I'm here away from the church. We are gathered together in heavenly places with Christ. And so as we go to this time of worship, we're not alone. We're in the presence of the Most High God. We're gathered together in one mind and one accord, although we may be in different buildings. And so as we worship this morning, let's give our highest praise to the Lord right where we're at. Let's thank Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the opportunity to be gathered with Your people across this city and around the world. And we pray, God, that You would be glorified in everything that's said, everything that's done today. God, we pray that You alone will be praised, that You will be worshipped. God, we adore You. We thank You. God, as we offer our praise to You, God, let Your Spirit overwhelm us. Come in near us, Lord. Come near us. Lord, Your Word tells us in James that if we'll draw near to You, You will draw near to us. We welcome You, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are You, Lord. It's Your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's Your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to You only. Great are You, Lord. You give life, You are love, You bring light to the darkness, You give hope, You restore. Yeah. praise you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. Come on, sing it, sing it. Thank you, Lord. We'll shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. Say it again. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. Thank you, Jesus. Only you, Lord, deserve the praise. Praise you, Jesus. We glorify you. Lord, come into this time of worship. Inhabit the praise of your people. Lord, because of you, we have the faith, Lord, to trust in uncertain times. Because of you, Lord, because of your perfect love, a fear is removed from us. We trust and we believe and we hope for a better day. And we are so thankful that you are with us. We praise you. We praise you.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows through my veins, and I'm no longer a slave. Child of God.
They sang this song last week, and it had such a great response, and it's so powerful. We wanted to do it again this week. It is well. It is well. Amen. How many of you know, and I can't see you lifting your hands, but how many of you know that as long as we are in right standing with God through Jesus Christ, it is well. It is well. It is well. Thank you. What may come, no matter what may go, no matter how difficult this world is, it is well.
It is well. Yes, Jesus, we thank you, Jesus, that it is well.
Tell the world of the treasure you
Sing that verse again. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes.
Leave behind your regrets and mistakes.
Come on, come on.
Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling.
Come on.
Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes, a new life is born. Jesus is calling.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was brought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
I know right now we're getting ready to go into a little break to do the offering, and then I'll be back with the word in just a moment. But I really feel a precious presence of the Lord on this song. And as we were trying to decide what songs to sing, I don't think we've ever done this one before, and we thought we would do it. And Johnny said, I think you should give an altar invitation, and I planned to do that after I preach, but the message I have is to the church, and I feel the Spirit of God right now drawing, pulling, and I know that we're separated by distance, and I know that we may be separated by some time. I know you might watch this late in the evening. It doesn't matter. God is an ever-present help. He's present. If you're watching this a week later, He's present. If you're all alone in your home, He's present. If you're in a crowd and you're trying to stay socially distant, maybe you've got this little thing in your ear and you're listening on your headphones, it doesn't matter. He's there. And I believe right now that the presence of the Lord is drawing somebody. He's drawing you through this video. He's drawing you through this song. He's drawing you. And I want to give you right now the opportunity. Right now. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today. There's a new life awaits you. I want to just right now ask you to yield your heart to it. Say, Lord, I'm sorry for my sins. Sorry for my mistakes. Sorry for who I've been. I'm not good enough to bridge the distance. But I trust on the work that Jesus did at Calvary. When He took my sin upon Him, I believe that He bore my shame and bore my sin, and He paid the penalty, and now I accept the gift of eternal life that He has offered to me. I accept His holiness. I accept His righteousness. And I want to remind you that the Word of God says that we are the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. And I want you to understand that my sins are forgiven and they're forgotten and they're never to be remembered against me again. They're cast as far as the east is from the west. And God will do the same for you if you'll just lay it all down at the foot of the cross. Lay it all down. Give it all to Him. Don't hold it. Don't try to carry it. Just give it all to Jesus right now and say, Lord, I believe in what You did for me at Calvary. I believe on You. Confess Him right now as your Lord and Savior. By all means, let us know. Put a comment in the messages below, in the box below, and say, hey, I just gave my heart to Jesus, right? I just recommitted my life to Jesus Christ. Let us know. We want to celebrate with you.
behind your regrets and mistakes.
Come on, Johnny.
Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes, a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Lord.
For today's announcements, we wanted to let you know what our plans are for Easter Sunday. As of now, we are planning to have drive-through prayer. You will enter, and Pastor and Tracy want to pray over every car and every family. Also, you will be able to pick up a special treat bag for each person and communion that you will take home and partake with your family. We want to emphasize that this will be entirely in the car, and as you drive through, there will be live music on the pavilion for you and your family to worship as you go.
We also want to remind you to keep giving during this time. You can mail that in, you can give through the website at skcog.com, or you can text SKCOG to 77977, and the Lord will bless you. Thank you for being with us today.
Well, praise the Lord. Great to be with you this morning by way of Facebook Live and our website. Wish we were in person, but that's okay. God has this in his control, and he is he's blessing, he's moving. Just to give you a quick little update, and I've been trying to stay in contact with everyone, but we gave food to a man, what day was it? I think it was Friday, and I got to witness to him, got to tell him about the Lord, and he was really willing to listen. So God's moving in this time. And the gospel's going forth, and I heard someone say this week that more people will hear the gospel at Easter this year than has ever heard in the history of the world, and I believe that's the case. I believe that's true. So praise God for that. But anyway, let's get to prayer, and then we'll go straight on into the Word. If you will, right there in your homes, bow your heads with me, and let's go to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be with your people. Although it may be virtual, we're still gathered together in your spirit. And so, Father, we pray that as you are moving here in this house, that you'll move in their house, God, that they can experience the might, the power, the presence of your Holy Spirit, God, that you might save and heal and restore. Increase our faith today so that we might take hold of your promises, and God, that you might be glorified. I ask you, God, for your anointing to be able to preach, teach your word this morning, and I pray, God, that you would anoint every ear to hear what your spirit is saying to the churches. God, in this day that we live, there's a lot of turmoil, there's a lot of unrest, there's a lot of fear, but God, I speak peace to your people, to the people of God. You said, Lord Jesus, you said that your peace you left us, not as the world gives, but you left your peace. We take hold of that today by faith. We believe you, we trust you, we lean on you. We praise you, and it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Now, if you want to get your Bibles, and surely you've got them there at home, but get them, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. Before I start reading, and we're going to talk about the promises of God today, but before we start reading, I just want to share a few things with you. Last week, we talked a lot about repentance, and we talked about whether or not it doesn't really matter if this is the judgment of God or a biological attack or a work of the enemy, but what's going on here is God is using what's going on in the world to refine, as a refiner's fire, to refine his people. We've talked about, I mentioned two scriptures that have been predominant through this whole thing, and it's Psalm 91, the whole chapter, but especially, no plague shall come nigh thy dwelling, and he will give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. And then also 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. And it says that if my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land. So we've heard those scriptures really quoted a lot through all this. I believe that they do apply. I believe that they are real for today. I want to say along with that we now is the time for the church to repent. We, as the church, as I said last week, must repent of our rebellion against God. We must not align ourselves with the world. We must align ourselves with God through Jesus Christ. And we have to go by what the Word says. We have to go by what Jesus told us and how he told us to live. And if we're falling short of that, it's time for all of us to repent. Also, some things I've been hearing and seeing a lot on Facebook, and I've joined right in on that. Faith over fear, worship over worry. I am 100% behind that. I believe that. The Bible tells us to put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. A lot of us right now are dealing with some heaviness because of the things that are coming up on the world. The Word even tells us that in the last days, people's hearts will fail them for fear because of the things that are coming on the world. But we have not been given the spirit of fear, as you know. We've been given power and of love and of a sound mind. So we should put on the garment of praise for this spirit of heaviness. We should intake the Word more than we're intaking the world. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Take in the Word. Speak out, breathe out faith that God has breathed into you from his Word. So now is the time for faith. Now is not the time for fear. Now is also the time for the church to rise up and be the powerhouse that he's called us to be. You might say, well, how can we do that if we're cowering in our homes? We're not cowering in our homes. We are hiding ourselves in Christ, not from the world, not from the turmoil, but in Christ. And the Word even reminds us to hide ourselves in him until his indignation be past. So while we're in this time, let the Lord come alive in you. Let his power, his Word, call you to closer relationship and rise up and be the people that we've been called to be. Now is the time that we should know that through the atonement of Jesus Christ, all of the promises in the Word of God are available to us. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. So I want to tell you to activate your faith. Believe with your whole heart on what the Word of God has told us. And we can live in the fullness of the blessing of God. Starts with repentance. It ends in faith. The faith that we have will end in sight. When we get to that city, that heavenly city, our faith will not be needed anymore. But for now, activate your faith. Let's talk about that. So let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. And I just want to read that for you, and I'm going to read from the King James Version to begin with. But it says, for all the promises, and I want to ask you a question before I go on. How many of the promises are mentioned here? That's right, all the promises of God in him are yea and amen, and in him amen unto the glory of God by us. Now, I'm gonna break that down just a little bit, but let me read a couple other verses for you. I mean, a couple other translations, other versions for you just to be sure you catch what this is saying here. The NIV, which is not one of my favorites, but I love the way this is worded here. It says, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, Jesus Christ, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. The Weymouth New Testament translation says, for all the promises of God, whether or whatever their number, have their confirmation in him. And for this reason, through him also, our amen acknowledges their truth and promotes the glory of God through our faith. This is powerful. And if we can get a hold of this verse, it will revolutionize our faith. I really believe that. It says, let me go back to the King James Version, for all the promises, all of God's promises in God or all of God's promises in him, in Christ, in him, are yes and amen. They're yea and amen. And what that means is that through Jesus Christ, the answer is yes for all of the promises of God. That is a huge statement. And if we can get that in our heads and in our hearts, it will, again, it will change our lives. Now, I know today is Palm Sunday. You probably expected me to preach an Easter message, and we will talk about the lamb being slain. We'll talk about several things, but I want to focus on the increase of your faith. I want to talk about the promises of God, and I want you to understand that with the Word of God, we are able, well able, to not only survive this season, but we are well able to thrive in this season. God has equipped us with His Word. Just a side note, and I'll get right back into this. Don't forget, and it's already been mentioned in the announcements, but don't forget next Sunday, if we're still allowed, Lord willing, we're going to try to have a drive-through prayer. And again, please stay in your car for that. Follow the signs, but we will have worship in the parking lot. You'll come through. It'll take some time to get through because we're going to pray over every car that comes through, every family that comes through, and you'll get a gift. But we want to talk today about the promises of God. And I want to just think about how many promises. This says, for all the promises of God in him are yea and amen, are yes and amen, or they are yes and so be it. How many promises are there? Well, I looked that up to find out, and nobody can agree on that. There's so many different ideas. Bibleinfo.com says that according to one account, there are 3,573 promises in the Bible. Bible.com says that there are 7,487 promises in the Bible. There's a book called All the Promises of the Bible by Herbert Lockyer, and he claims that there is a list of 8,000 promises in the Bible. If we go with the most conservative number and say that there are 3,573 promises in the Bible, that's about 10 promises per day of every year that we can claim and have 10 for every day. That's amazing. God has made us some great and precious promises. The Word tells us that as well. But it doesn't really matter how many promises. It matters that all the promises of God are yes and amen through Jesus Christ. I want to read another scripture for you, and it's found in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it was written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Let me take out that little insertion. Not that I want to do away with it. It's a powerful thing. But you'll notice there's a phrase in there that says, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. Speaking of Jesus being made accursed for us so that we might receive the promises of God. But let's read it without that so you can not have your thought process interrupted. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So the blessings of Abraham have come upon the church through the work of Jesus Christ. Jesus was an heir to the promises of Abraham because he was a son of Abraham. He was a descendant of Abraham. However, he was a descendant of the children of Israel. However, his sacrifice gave us the opportunity to be grafted in to be sons and daughters of God through the work of Jesus Christ. But we can say it this way, that we became sons and daughters of Abraham because of faith. We are heir to the promises that were made Abraham because Jesus has brought us into that spiritual family, spiritual Israel. And when I say spiritual Israel, I want you to understand I'm not saying that Christians displace Israel, but I'm saying that those who live by faith, that trust in Jesus as the Messiah, all are now become part, whether Jew or Greek, are all become part of the body of Christ, the family of God. Let me say it that way. So by saying this, what we're seeing here in Galatians chapter 3 is that we, through Jesus Christ, have been made heirs to all the promises that were given Abraham. Now, that's amazing. Abraham was given a promise of a better covenant, and his promises have been passed down to us. And if we go on and read Galatians chapter 3, verse 29, if we go on down a little further in the chapter, it says, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants and heirs according to the promise. So we, through Christ, have access to all the promises that were given to Abraham. But what we often fail to realize, and where we fall short so often in the modern church, is that we don't have the understanding that even though these promises are available to us, they are not automatically dealt to us. They are ours. They're ours to claim. They are ours, but we have to access them. We have to take hold of them before they really mean anything to us. Not every person in this world will be saved, although Jesus took the sins of the whole world upon himself. Well, who will be saved? According to the Word of God, it's those who believe upon Jesus Christ. And it's only those who access that by faith that receive salvation. I'll talk about that in just a minute, and I'll get back to it. But, let's just go ahead and go there. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 28. And it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. So clearly we see here that salvation is a gift of God. We've got that. We understand that. We understand that because that's grace. And praise God for grace. Grace is absolutely amazing. And thank God for his grace that while I did not deserve salvation, it was offered to me through Jesus Christ, that he paid the debt of my sin, which I couldn't pay. The only way I could pay for my sin was to be eternally separated from God and to be cast into his eternal judgment, which equals hell. And I would never pay the debt back in full. It would continue throughout eternity. But Jesus Christ took my sin upon him, and because of that, if I will believe on the work that he did at Calvary, I can take his blessing, the favor of God, the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ can come upon me. And that's amazingly good news. But salvation is a free gift. We get that part, but we sometimes fail to realize how important it is that it's by our faith that we receive it. Look at this again. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Even faith is a gift of God. We're told that we are all given the measure of faith. So we all, even those who call themselves atheists, have been given a measure of faith, and they have enough faith to believe on Jesus Christ. If we can allow our faith to grow, or we can allow our faith to diminish, but we're all given a measure of faith. But we have to enact our faith to believe on the work of Jesus Christ, or we won't be saved. If we look at the whole world, and Jesus died for the sins of the whole world, I would estimate that the majority have not believed on Jesus Christ, but the minority, it's a very small, I would think, fraction, have believed upon him as Savior. And for by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Our faith, let me say it this way, our faith must connect with the work that Jesus did. My work is not going to cut it. My work is not good enough. But he has given me faith to receive for myself the work that Jesus has done. If you're here watching today, you've stopped by my Facebook or the church's Facebook or perhaps this website, and you're hearing this and perhaps you didn't understand the gospel, I've given it to you there in a nutshell. You have to believe on the work of Jesus Christ to be saved. Just believing that he was a good man or that he was perhaps a prophet or that he is the Son of God is not enough. You have to believe on him for yourself as your Savior. Cast your sins upon him and allow him to cast his righteousness upon you. Believe by faith. Let your faith take hold of what Jesus did at Calvary. But there are some other implications here for us who are Christians. Everything that God offers is offered the same way. Everything. So this same simple principle is applicable to everything that God has promised. All of his promises are yea and amen through Jesus Christ. All of them are yes. All of them are so be it through Jesus Christ. We can only access the power, the presence, the promises of God through Jesus Christ. I can't access them through my hope. And here's where a lot of Christians go wrong. We hope that this will happen, or we hope that that won't happen. And that's not faith. That's just hope. Hope is good. Hope will give us a positivity to look forward to something that might come in the future. But hope in itself is basically just the ground that the seed of faith can be planted in. Faith is more. Let's look at Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. I don't know if I read that yet. Maybe I did already. And if I did, I apologize. But it says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes unto righteousness, or resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, or resulting in salvation. Notice that the faith in our hearts activates and it receives, appropriates, or allocates his gift to us when we believe on the work of Jesus Christ. By our confession, by the confession of our mouth, by the belief in our heart, we become made righteous and we receive salvation. It's not the work that we've done. God gave us the faith. It's his work. It's not the work that we've done as far as living uprightly, because Jesus was the only one who was holy and pure. So it's his work. All of it is the work of God. But we, like Abraham, and I've mentioned Abraham, the promises of Abraham, the Bible talks about him as being the father of faith. We, like Abraham, have to be people who will trust God for what he said. Believe him for what he said. That's the only way we can receive what he has offered us. We have to take him at his word. Now, there are some principles that come about in this that I want to share with you this morning. And I want you to take hold of these, because these are powerful, and you can write them down if you want to. I think I have three principles to share with you, and I've already talked slightly about these, but I'm going to put them in concise form so you can write these down and remember them. But principle number one: the promises of God are secured for every believer through Jesus Christ. Let me say it again: the promises of God are secured for every believer through Jesus Christ. Number two, my access to the promises of God are limited only by my faith to take hold of them and receive them. My access to the promises of God is limited only by my faith to take hold of them and receive them. And number three, and I'll come back to each of these. Number three, faith is expressed in action. Faith is expressed in action. I'll come back to that in a moment. But number one, the promises of God are secured for every believer through Christ Jesus. So in that, I don't need to spend much time on that, because I've already covered it pretty well this morning. But we could go back to our original scripture where we started: for all the promises of God in him, Jesus Christ, that's who it's saying there, him, Jesus Christ, are yes and amen to the glory of the Father by us. All of the promises of God, all of them, are accessible through Jesus Christ. And it's only through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. We talk about that in relation to salvation. Certainly that's true. There is no other name whereby men must be saved. Jesus is the only way. But we also realize that our healing comes from the Father, our peace comes from the Father, our joy comes from the Father, and without access to him, we don't have any of those things except in a fleeting moment they pass away, but in him we can have eternal joy, eternal peace, eternal salvation through Jesus Christ. We're gonna have is salvation throughout the years, the eternal years to come, if our faith and our hope remains in Jesus Christ. And I want us to catch what's being said here and get this in a much larger scope than just believing on him for salvation. There's nothing better than that. Salvation is amazing, and thank God for it, because we don't deserve it. But there's something more that we can have in this life. Jesus said, "The enemy has come not but for to kill and to steal and to destroy, but I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." That's John 10:10. And if we understand Jesus came, and he came to destroy the works of the devil, and he came to redeem us and to buy us back from the devil and give us eternal life and salvation, if we understand that, that's marvelous, and that's enough to get us into heaven if by faith we accept Jesus Christ. But there's more for us who live in the here and now. And Jesus came that we might have abundant life. And so I want us to understand then that the same faith that it takes to be saved is the faith that it takes to be healed. It's the faith that it takes to stay healed. It's the faith that it takes to walk in these promises. And it's given by God. It's given by him. I can't muster up faith, but I was given a measure of faith. I can't increase my faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. I can't increase my faith. This word, the Bible, is given by God, and it's good for reproof, rebuke, exhortation, all these things. And we should be filling our hearts with the word of God, because it increases our faith. So principle number one, the promises of God are secured for every believer through Jesus Christ. Principle number two, my access to the promises of God is limited only by my level of faith to take hold of them and receive them. God is not withholding his promises from one person and bestowing them upon another. I have told you before, I feel like I walk in a lot of God's favor, and I'm thankful for that. Years ago, somebody told me that I was the luckiest person they've ever seen, and I didn't even understand it then like I understand it now, but I beg to differ. I am not lucky. I'm blessed. I am favored. I'm favored of God. His favor, his blessing, his love is upon me. Again, it doesn't go back to me. It goes back to him. He's the one who's given me the level of faith that I walk in. And my faith is not where I would like for it to be. It will continue to grow as long as I'll allow him to let it grow. But my ability to walk in his promises and to walk in his blessing and to walk in his favor is only limited by the level of faith that I walk in. He's not just blessing one Christian and jumping over and missing someone else. We walk in the level of the greater promises, the greater favor, the greater blessing, by the level of faith that we're walking in. If you're not in the promises, you're not receiving the promises you want from God, increase your faith by going into the word. If you're not receiving the favor of God upon your life that you want to, I think obedience comes into it in a great way, but you have to get into the word to see what it is that you have to be more obedient to. And so increase your faith. And in doing so, you increase the favor and the blessing of God upon your life, and you increase your ability to walk in the promises of God. God has reserved all of his promises through Christ Jesus. He's reserved all of his promises for Christians, yet most of us have failed to take by faith what God has given and to walk in them. They're there for us. You've heard all your life, probably, at least I have, that we are walking under the level that we should be walking in, or we are not walking to the level in the Spirit that we should be walking in. We're walking below our our level of blessings that God wants us to walk in. There's another way it's said sometimes. I'm trying to think how to say that, but I think you know what I'm talking about. We are walking below our privileges. That's what it is that I've heard so many times, and I believe that. We are privileged as the sons and daughters of God, as joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We are privileged to the very best that God has. But our level of faith determines how much of that we can access, just like in salvation. If we won't take hold of him by faith and allow him to become our Savior and our Lord, then we will walk through this life alone. And if we will take hold of him and by faith believe what the Word of God has says and believe him, believe on him as our Lord and as our Savior, then he will very clearly come into our lives. And I'm proof of that. I know that. I'm a witness to that. Principle number three. Faith is expressed in action. Now, we can see that over and over and over in the Word of God, but I'll point you to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 repeatedly says, by faith, and then it gives us an action step that someone took in trusting God. By faith, I'm not going to read it all, but I want to give you a few examples from it. By faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. He offered a sacrifice. It was more excellent than that of Cain. By faith, Noah prepared an ark for the saving, for the salvation of his family. By faith, Abraham obeyed and went. By faith, Abraham also offered up Isaac. And the list goes on and on and on. And so it's by faith that they made it into what we call in Hebrews chapter 11, the hall of faith, or the hall of fame of faith, some people say. By faith, they made it into that chapter because they trusted God enough to not only hear his word, but to believe his word and to step out on his word. Faith is expressed in action, and that's principle number three. Let me give you a few other examples from the Word of God and get out of that one chapter and go across a wide spectrum. In Exodus chapter 12, I told you we'd talk a little bit about the lamb. In Exodus chapter 12, God told Moses to have the people to kill a lamb and to apply its blood to the doorposts and to remain inside. In verse 13, God says that when he sees the blood, that he would pass over. We are in Passover right now. What the season of Passover. And so this is not only an encouraging word for us today, knowing that the blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, has been applied to our lives, but this shows this principle that faith is expressed in action. Now, I told you a few weeks ago that I felt like the Lord, and this was by a post on Facebook. I don't think I said anything about it on a video, but I felt like the Lord showed me and shared with me from this same chapter, Exodus chapter 12, that at some point, more than once, but this is one particular point, that God quarantined his people at home. Another time was when Noah was quarantined into the ark and his family. God will sometimes take us into a hidden place to prepare us for the next stage or to allow us time to heal and to grow. And while he pours out his indignation upon those who don't know him, but all of that, even the indignation, is a work of grace to try to draw us all to himself. Now back to where I was at. God said that he would see the blood and he would pass over. The act of faith here activated the promise. When the sacrifice was made, the killing of a lamb, and the blood was applied to the doorposts. And then they had to stay inside. It was obedience. It was following the word of God, listening to what he had to say, trusting his word, acting upon it. This is a principle that's very powerful. We need to know what God's saying. We need to believe what he's saying. We need to act on what he's saying. Daniel chapter 3 is another example. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego were threatened with death in the fiery furnace if they did not bow to an idol, a false god. And in this story, we read about these three Hebrew children, as I said, Daniel chapter 3. They activated their faith by refusing to bow to this false god, even at the potential loss of their life. They would not bow. And you remember the conversation between them and the king. They said, we're not careful to answer you in this matter. But they said they would not bow. And they said, the Lord will save us from the fire. But if he doesn't, still we will not bow. And when we look at that, we don't necessarily catch that they were standing on, and this is a key, they were standing upon the word of God. We see that as they were acting upon their faith, upon their belief that we should worship no other God before him. That's clearly an act of faith that they were doing here. And it was based on the first commandment, not to have any other God before him. But there's another scripture that was given through Isaiah about 150 years before. And it's found in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2. And you'll be familiar with this. When you pass through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. This was written about 150 years before Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego faced the fiery furnace. I looked that up today to find out. And so they were acting upon their faith. They trusted God above their circumstances. They believed the word of the Lord. They heard the word of the Lord. They believed the word of the Lord, and they acted upon the word of the Lord. God will honor his word. Let me give you one more. This one's found in Matthew chapter 9, and it's the story of the woman with the issue of blood. She had tried everything to get well. She continued to get worse. And we see that in Matthew chapter 9, verse 20, that, let me just read it. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood for 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I will be made whole. I shall be made whole. But Jesus turned about when he saw her and said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. I want you to know she activated her faith when she believed upon the words of Jesus Christ. She activated her faith and she declared her faith. There's another, I believe, another important aspect of this principle. Faith is expressed in action. She not only came up through the crowd behind him and crawled up and touched him, she came up through the crowd at risk of peril because she was considered unclean because blood was issuing from her. And in those days, she was to stand at a great distance and cry unclean. She was not worthy to come in touch with other people according to their law. And so she, at her own peril, slipped through the crowd and came up and touched the hem of his garment. She understood a principle that faith is expressed in action. But she also, before she even did that, she made a declaration of her faith. That's the same thing. Goes back to Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. We should believe in our heart and confess with our mouth. I believe in my heart, and then I confess with my mouth. A lot of people have said we confess with our mouth and we'll get it in our heart. That's actually backwards. We should believe the word of God, and it will increase our faith as we say it. Don't get me wrong there. But we should believe what the word of God says and stand on it and say it, speak it. The word of God is true. It's powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. And faith that comes by hearing from the word of God, faith is not a it's not a noun. It can be a noun, but it's also a verb. You know, if you remember school, it's an action word. Faith is action. Faith is expressed in action. So when we understand this and we take all of this into context, what I'm trying to tell you is that we know, I believe that most all of us know enough of the word of God to believe what he has said, but usually we don't get it into our spirit. The world, most of the world at this point, most of the world has been told that Jesus Christ is Savior. And some of them believe that he's the Savior of the world, but they haven't believed on him for themselves. And some of us, even as Christians, we have believed on Jesus as our Savior. We have trusted him for our eternity, but we haven't believed upon him as everything else that we need. And he is our provider. He is our source. He's our strength. He is everything we need. The Bible tells us in Isaiah, I believe it's chapter 53, that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was pierced for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed. Jesus Christ has paid the atonement, the at-one-ment. He has paid the atonement for us. He has bridged the separation between us and God. Everything, all of the blessings of God that are available to us are through Christ Jesus. And if we will take hold of them by faith, according to what the Word says, base our faith on the Word, base our faith on Jesus Christ, go through Jesus Christ, base your faith in Him. If we will do that, we can have what the Word says. Now, this is a faith message. There's no doubt about it. But I want to ask you this week to get a couple promises in front of you. I want you to declare them. If you need to get them in your spirit, read them out loud. Read the Word out loud. Faith comes by hearing. Read them out loud. Begin to get this in your heart. Do you really believe it? Do you really believe that this is true? What we so often fail to do is to believe that it's true for me. We can believe that Jesus is the Savior, but do we believe that Jesus is the, we believe He's the Savior of the whole world, but do we believe that He is Savior for us? I have to believe on Him personally for Him to become my Savior and my Lord. Same thing with your healing. Same thing with your provision. Same thing with your walking in supernatural health. We see so many times in the Word of God where Jesus said even to those around Him, by faith you've received your healing, or as your faith is, so be it unto you. Your faith determines your walk with Jesus Christ. Your faith determines your walk with God. Your faith determines, your level of faith determines your level of walking in the promises of God. That's a message I have for you this morning. And I want you to read and trust and declare and then be obedient to the Holy Spirit and act upon the Word of God. Let me give you a place to start. For a month or so, we've talked about Psalm 91. I started long before we went into quarantine or isolation, I started talking about Psalm 91. And I want you to take that scripture and to read it over your family. I want you can take other scriptures as well if you want to, but read these over your family. Believe what the Word of God says is not just a general word for something that God just wanted to say, but it's for me. I understand that this was spoken to the children of Israel, but the promises of Abraham, the children of Israel, are now come upon me through Jesus Christ. It's mine. This promise is mine. So no plague will come near my dwelling. I declare that. I believe it because the Word of God is true. It's not coming to my house. Coronavirus is not coming to my house. In Jesus' name, I stand upon it. I believe it. I declare it. And I tell you that in faith. I don't see the future, but I trust my God. And His Word, His promise is true for me, and it's true for you. Believe it, read it, believe it, declare it, and act upon it. Next week, Lord willing, I'm preaching today the promises of God. Next week for Easter, we're going to have a drive-through prayer, but I'm still going to record a message, and you can watch it after you get home, and then we're going to give you communion, and you can take it home, and during a time of music, we'll allow you to take that with your family. Next week, I'm preaching the promises of God today. Next week, Lord willing, I'll be preaching the God of promises, and I want you to this week, don't just take this word right now and just say, wow, I really enjoyed this or whatever, but take this word and apply it to your heart. Begin to trust that whatever God has said, He has said for you. Whatever God has purposed, whatever He has planned, whatever He has promised, it's a promise that's available to you through Jesus Christ. If He said no fire would burn you or no water would overflow you, declare that. It's not yours unless you believe it and declare it. It's available to you. It's in your bank account, heavenly bank account, so to speak, but we have to withdraw from it. And faith is what gives us access. Faith is our bank card. And it's only through Jesus Christ. We are joint heirs with Jesus. His name's on the card, but I have right to it. Let me give you a quick overview there. Right now, Tracy usually works. Right now, she's not working a job. I'm the sole income. But her name is on the account just like mine is. And the money has gone into the account because of my income, but she has just as much access to it as I have. But if she doesn't go to the bank or doesn't use the debit card, it's no good to her. That's what I'm trying to tell you. God has provided amazing things for the body of Christ, and we can only access them through faith. But all of these things are available through Jesus. All of the promises of God are yes and amen through him. I'm going to ask Brother Johnny to come back to the guitar, and he's going to play a song, and it's they've already sung it, "Oh Come to the Altar," but I want to ask him to just play that, and we're going to spend a little bit of time. I'm finished preaching, I'm through talking, but we're going to spend a little time in prayer. I want to ask you right there in your home to pray with me. If you are here, you've watched this today, and you haven't made Jesus your Savior and your Lord, I've already given you the gospel. I've already told you, you have to believe upon him as your Savior. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 says, "Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth." I'd like for you to make that confession of faith today. Say, "I have believed upon Jesus." And I ask you, we've already given an altar invitation, but I want you to in the comments below, little box down below here, these comment areas, just say, "I've believed on Jesus Christ as my Savior today," or I have recommitted my life to him today. Can you do that? Church, if you have been watching and the Lord has sparked something in you and he's increased your faith today, feel free to comment there. Share this video. The body of Christ needs to realize we need to step up in our faith. We need to walk in what God has given us. And I want to ask you today, spend a few moments in prayer. I'm going to do the same. And I want to ask you to join us in this time of prayer and meet with God. First of all, let's just repent of anything that's hindering us. What is not of faith is sin, the Word says. So repent of weak faith. But let's give this to God and say, "Lord, I trust you. And I realize that through Jesus Christ, who I have believed on, I have access to all that God has given me." Let's go to him right now. Father, I pray for your people. I pray for those who are listening, watching, Lord, who maybe don't know you. And I pray, Lord, that you would increase their faith. Make faith come alive. God, specifically for your people, God, stir up the faith that's in them. Help them, Lord, to turn to your word and let your faith, Lord, come alive in them. God, for those who don't know you today, today is the day of salvation. Now is the time of salvation if we harden not our hearts. God, we come to you. We ask you, Lord, for an increase in faith. We ask you, God, that you do what only you can do. Bring us salvation. Bring us victory. Bring us peace. Restore your body. Bring your power back to the earth through the body that you have intended that we spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. Make it so. Revive your church. We take a hold of your promises now, Lord, by faith. In Jesus' name. Go ahead and continue to pray while Johnny sings. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you so much for joining us today. We're praying for you. I believe that you're praying for us. God is doing amazing things behind the scenes right now. I believe that with all my heart. Go after God. Go after Him. The Bible says if we will seek Him in private, that He will reward us openly. Right now, church, is the opportunity to really come to the altar, spend time with Him, increase your faith. Become that powerhouse. We don't have to be showboats. We need to be powerhouses for God. And right now, He's moving in the lives of His people. If things get worse this week, He's still in control. He is King of Kings, and He is Lord of Lords. And His word is forever settled in heaven. His promises are true, and they're all available to us through Jesus Christ. God bless you. Have a great day in the Lord.